Good morning, Peace Church, and welcome to worship. If you're joining us on YouTube this morning, click on the link in the description below to check in. If you're joining us on Facebook, that link can be found in the comments. No matter how you're joining us, we would love to know that you've worshiped with us this morning. You will also find other helpful links, such as our online giving portal and prayer request submission. If you are still able, you can continue to send in any contributions through the mail or give electronically by visiting www.peacechurch.org/give. If you know of someone that doesn't have access to a computer, we encourage you to call them and worship with them over the phone. We want to make sure that everyone is still connected during this time when we are urged to stay apart. Lastly, if we can be of any assistance during this time, please don't hesitate to contact the church office. From all of us here at Peace, thank you for joining us this morning. Now let's begin worship with the singing of our opening hymn.
We make our beginning this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us have a moment of silent reflection. Let us then honestly confess our sins to God, our Father.
Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow.
Create in us pure hearts, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within everyone in this place. Restore to your people at peace the joy of your salvation, and grant us a willing spirit to sustain us. It is because of your Son Jesus that we are forgiven and saved.
Amen.
The Lord says to my Lord,
sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet.
The Lord will extend your mighty scepter from Zion, saying,
rule in the midst of your enemies.
Your troops will be willing on your day of battle.
Arrayed in holy splendor, your young men will come to you like dew from the morning's womb.
The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind.
You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek.
The Lord is at your right hand. He will crush kings on the day of his wrath.
He will judge the nations, heaping up the dead and crushing the rulers of the whole earth.
He will drink from a brook along the way, and so he will lift his head high.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
The Old Testament lesson is found in Genesis chapter 14. After Abram returned from defeating Chedorlaomer and the kings allied with him, the king of Sodom came out to meet him in the valley of Sheveth, that is, the king's valley. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High, and he blessed Abram, saying, blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth. And praise be to God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hand. Then Abram gave him a tenth of everything. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our New Testament lesson is found in Hebrews chapter 7. If perfection could have been attained through Levitical priesthood, and indeed the law given to the people established that priesthood, why was there still a need for another priest to come, one in the order of Melchizedek, not in the order of Aaron? For when the priesthood is changed, the law must be changed also. He is of whom these things are said belonged to a different tribe, and no one from that tribe has ever served at the altar. For it is clear that our Lord descended from Judah, and in regard to that tribe, Moses said nothing about priests. And what we have said is even more clear if another priest like Melchizedek appears, one who has become a priest, not on the basis of a regulation as to his ancestry, but on the basis of power of an indestructible life. For it is declared, you are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. The former regulation is set aside because it was weak and useless, for the law made nothing perfect, and a better hope is introduced by which we draw near to God. And it was not without an oath. Others became priests without any oath, but he became a priest with an oath when God said to him, the Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever. Because of this oath, Jesus has become the guarantor of a better covenant. Now, there have been many of those priests since death prevented them from continuing in office. But because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. Today we conclude our sermon series on Jesus in the Psalms as we look at Psalm 110. So we meet Melchizedek, then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High, and he blessed Abraham. So here we see that the term Melchizedek means king of righteousness. The word for Salem means king of peace. He is a priest of Elyon, that's God Most High. And Melchizedek blesses Abram from God. The greater blesses the lesser. And Melchizedek blesses God for Abram. Prayer of praise. So when we see Melchizedek, he just basically shows up out of nowhere after in the story of Abram rescuing his nephew Lot from the kings who had ransacked the area of Sodom and Gomorrah. Abram had 318 trained men in his household to go and rescue Lot. So when you think about Abram, he has basically a small army that he owns that works for him. And Abram catches up with these kings 200 miles to the north near Dan. So Abram divides his men into two groups and routs the king. He rescues his nephew Lot and his family and takes back all the plunder to the kings. Not only does he rescue his nephew, but he rescues all the others who were captives as well. So Abram comes to the city of Salem, which later will be Jerusalem. And Salem is known in Abraham's time as a place of peace. Melchizedek greets Abram as the king of Salem and also the high priest of Salem. And I find it interesting that Gabriel tells Mary about the son that she will have, and he uses the words Elyon. You will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High God, exactly which is in our text. And the Lord God will make him king, that being Jesus, as his ancestor David was, and he will be the king of the descendants of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. And so today we talk about Jesus and his kingdom as king priest that has no end. Jesus is our king of life as well. His death and resurrection is proof that he is king of the universe, of heaven and earth, and he also is high priest who intercedes on our behalf. So this morning, we bring our hearts to Jesus to give him all honor and praise and worship. Jesus directly uses Psalm 110 to talk about himself and his ministry. So Jesus in the Psalms, "The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool." So Jesus speaks of the Messiah being a king, and Jesus uses this psalm in Matthew 22:41 through 45 to speak about himself, and Peter uses this psalm in Acts 2:34 at Pentecost to prove that Jesus is Lord and Messiah. So from Matthew 22, "When some Pharisees gathered together, Jesus asked them, 'What do you think about the Messiah? Whose descendant is he?' 'He is David's descendant,' they answered. 'Why then,' Jesus asked, 'did the Spirit inspire David to call him Lord?' David said, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit here at my right side until I put your enemies under your feet.' If then David called him Lord, how can the Messiah be David's descendant?" And no one could answer that, but you and I can answer that today because Jesus is Lord because he is God, and he is also Son because he is born into humanity. So Peter also uses Psalm 110 in the Pentecost, and I read from this in Acts chapter 2. "David saw that God was going to do in the future, and so he spoke about the resurrection of Messiah and said, 'He was not abandoned in the world of the dead. His body did not rot in the grave. God has raised this very Jesus from death, and we are all witnesses of this fact. He has been raised to the right side of God, his Father, and has received from him the Holy Spirit as he had promised. What you now see and hear is the gift that he poured out on us. For it was not David who went up into heaven. Rather, he said, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit here at my right side until I put your enemies as a footstool under your feet.' All the people of Israel then are to know for sure that this Jesus whom you crucified is the one that God made both Lord and Messiah." So Jesus is the King Messiah and also High Priest at the same time. He is Son of God and Son of David. We continue to look at Psalm 110 this morning as Jesus as the High Priest in the order of Melchizedek. Jesus in the Psalms, "The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." And that's verse 4 of Psalm 110. Speaks of the Messiah being priest. Jesus is priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. So the writer of Hebrews says Melchizedek priesthood is greater than the Aaronic priesthood, because Melchizedek is without beginning and end. Melchizedek is like the Messiah, the Christ. He is both king and high priest at the same time. And Melchizedek's priesthood is greater than Aaron's because Abraham gave Melchizedek a tenth of the plunder. And it was said is that Aaron was in the very body of Abraham also giving a tenth. So the lesser is blessed by the greater. And the writer of Hebrews shows that the priesthood of Jesus Christ is superior to that of Aaron. Jesus' sacrifice was once for all time. The sacrifice of Aaron was never complete because the blood of animals will not pay for the price of sin. The superiority of the eternal and spiritual priesthood of Jesus over the fleshly and temporal Levitical priesthood. So the Melchizedek priesthood has 2 points of superiority. Point number one, instead of receiving his office by birth, he has directly appointed by God. So Jesus has been appointed from eternity to be priest and king at the same time. And point number two, instead of holding his office for a limited time, he holds it for an undefined period. Jesus holds this office as king and priest for eternity. Christ's priesthood is superior because it never comes to an end. And David compares the ministry of Jesus as a king above all kings and a priest above all priests. Jesus is also sacrifice and priest at the same time. He offers himself on the cross, but he's also, as a priest, offering himself as the sacrifice. And by his death and by his resurrection, he is king and priest for all eternity. So Jesus as Melchizedek. And what we have said is even more clear if another priest like Melchizedek appears, one who has become a priest not on the basis of a regulation as to his ancestry, but on the basis of the power of an indestructible life, from Hebrews chapter 7, verses 15 and 16. King Priest Jesus is personally chosen by God to fulfill the promise that was made in Genesis 3, verse 15, of sending a Savior. King Priest Jesus has an indestructible life. He will never taste death again because of his life-giving service of fulfilling the law completely. He has died to death forever. King Priest Jesus offered the perfect sacrifice for the sins of the world himself, the Lamb without blemish. King Jesus, the priest, fulfilled the law in our stead so that we are forgiven as lawbreakers. King Priest Jesus spent many nights in prayer to his Father, and King Priest Jesus learned obedience through his suffering. King Priest Jesus taught his disciples and us as well as followers that there is good news, that there is the promise of eternal life for all who believe in King Jesus and priest. And King Priest Jesus will return one day to reign as king over everything. So what is this King Priest Jesus doing in heaven today? He's doing basically 4 things. He's interceding for us. He is advocating for us. He is preparing a place for us. And he is ruling and reigning over the universe. So point number one, interceding for us, from Romans chapter 8. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Jesus knows us by name. He prays for you and me by name. We have a God who knows our name and a God who knows our needs. He, along with the Holy Spirit, intercedes for us, for our lives here on earth, that our faith will remain strong. Jesus empathizes with our weakness because he knows our temptation. He knows our sufferings because he has experienced them himself. And in Hebrews 4:16, it talks about you and me being people of prayer when it says, "Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need." We go to the very throne room of heaven, grace, where mercy is bestowed on God's followers. And God recognizes that we all need Jesus because we cannot be perfect in our own stead. But by the blood of Jesus that has been poured over us in our baptism, we are God's chosen children. So we can go to the Lord in prayer, knowing that Jesus is lifting us up. Mercy is given to you and to me to help us in our time of need. And point number two is Jesus is also advocating for us while he is in heaven. From 1 John 2, verse 1, it reads, "My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one." So an advocate is one who works on your behalf. He will say good things about you. He will promote you. He will do everything within his power to make sure that you and I are a success. So what does this advocate do on our behalf? He tells the Father about our lives. He tells the Father about our faith. He tells the Father about our trials and temptation. And he tells the Father that this is your child. He or she believes in me. And my death on the cross paid for their sin. King Jesus, the priest as well, tells the Father, this child is important to you, Father, because I died for them. And because they believe, this child calls you dear dad. King priest Jesus advocates on our behalf to share God's love with you and with me. And point number three about preparing a place, in John chapter 14, "My Father's house has many rooms. If it were not so, would I have not told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." King priest Jesus is preparing a place for his followers, a place for you and a place for me. And that's all by grace through faith, where God shows his mercy and kindness and love to each and every one of us and to our world as well. We love Jesus and we believe in him. And when our time is over on earth, he will take us to the place that he has prepared for us. Remember the thief on the cross? Jesus said, "Today you will be with me in paradise," because his place was prepared. Death has been defeated. That's all done through Jesus. We have the opportunity to meet those who have gone before us when we go to heaven and experience the presence of Jesus Christ as we see him face to face in spirit. And point number four, Jesus is ruling and reigning. This is from Hebrews 1:3. "He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. He upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high." King Jesus, priest of the universe, is in heaven. He has all authority and all power. He recognizes that that final battle is drawing near. He is in preparation for that final battle that only the Father knows the date set for that. But there will be that final glorious victory on that final day when God will take and reunite our bodies and our souls and take us to be with Him forever. King, Priest, Jesus, in the order of Melchizedek, has come into your world, my world, your life, my life, to set us free, to be people of hope in this kind of time when there's a lot of uncertainty, to go and share hope with our community. He's in charge. He's ruling. He's reigning. He is interceding on our behalf, and we, as priests, intercede for others. We pray, Lord Jesus, come, come soon. In Jesus' name, amen. May the peace of God, which transcends all your human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ. Amen.
We confess our faith now together in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Thank you. Join me this morning as we pray for the church and for the whole people of God everywhere. Most gracious and everlasting Father, Alpha and Omega, the one who was and who is to come, the God who neither sleeps nor slumber, have mercy upon us, O God, and blot out our transgressions. According to your steadfast love, wash us of our sin and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. When our heart is overwhelmed, lead us to the rock that is higher than us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. With contrite hearts and broken spirits, we come to you this morning, O God, pleading for peace, comfort, and healing for all who are sick and afflicted in our midst. Even as your word declares that healing is the children's bread, we say this day, give us our daily bread and remember us in our season of affliction. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. As it is no secret that as a nation, as a people, as a church, and as a family, we are faced with some of the most trying and uncertain times our world has ever seen. We pray for wisdom, for understanding, for tolerance, and for reconciliation in this hour, Lord. Even as we are concerned about safety and order and peaceful coexistence, I pray that you cause us, the church, the ambassadors of Christ in the earth, to be equally as concerned about justice, about equality, and about righteousness. Break our hearts for the things that break your hearts. Break our hearts for the things that break yours. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Once again, we present our families to you, Lord Jesus. Keep them, protect them, and deliver them from all evil, seen and unseen. We cancel every evil assignment and uproot every demonic entrapment the enemy has designed for our children and our loved ones. We lift up our country, our leaders, our military and police, our first responders, and all those on the front lines of protecting and securing our well-being. Remember them, O God, and let there be a prodigious outpouring of your grace, mercy, peace, love, and protection upon them all. May they feel you nearer to them every hour of every day in every way. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. In closing, Lord, we lift up Peace Church, your people, your congregation, as well as the church universal. May we be known for our love for God and our neighbor. May we embrace your call for our lives and learn to walk upright before you, showing mercy, loving justice, reflecting your great love, and spreading the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray when we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now hear these words from Jude To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority. To Jesus Christ, our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.